You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The point of the Lord's ascension is that people should not just stand there. They should get going.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
By the death and resurrection of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, give us the assurance of your love and your forgiveness. By his ascension into heaven as your Son and our Lord, give us the joy of life, ready to do for him with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, both Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. The story of the early church, as it is told by St. Luke in the book of Acts, begins with the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. This is the time of the year when the church celebrates the Lord's ascension into heaven. It is one church festival that has very little competition from the world around us. We don't hear pre-ascension shopping rushes or sales. In fact, people celebrating the ascension don't have very much competition from within the church itself. It's my impression that most churches forget it. They may forget the ascension because they are confused about its meaning. People forget it because they don't get it. The point of the Lord's ascension is that his church should not just stand there. It should get going. He is the Lord, and his people had better get going. Luke began the story of the church with a reference to the first work he had written to his friend Theophilus, probably another Greek physician like himself, whose residence may have been in Rome. Luke is telling him about what happened after Jesus Christ was crucified and was raised from the dead. "Dear Theophilus," he began, "my first book I wrote about all the things that Jesus did and taught, from the time he began his work until the time he was taken up to heaven. Before he was taken up, he gave instructions by the power of the Holy Spirit to the men he had chosen as his apostles. For 40 days after his death, he showed himself to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. He was seen by them and talked with them about the kingdom of God. When they came together, he gave them this order: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised that I told you about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "The times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. But you will be filled with power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood before them. "Men of Galilee," they said, Why do you stand there gazing up into the sky? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. This is history. It has the ring of authenticity. Only one sentence is devoted to the dramatic occurrence of the ascension of the Lord into heaven. No explanations are offered, and there's no elaboration except the plain fact of what happened after saying this. He was taken up into heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Period. Period usually means the end of something. This is the beginning. It's the beginning of a great movement that spread across the world and is still going, and going strong. The movement began that day with only 11 men. Actually, it began with one man, the one who ascended into heaven. He was lifted up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. That man yielded up his life on a cross outside a city wall. It looked like the end, but it wasn't. That man was raised from the dead, the wounds of the nails still in his hands and feet, and the mark where the spear had entered still visible in his side. That man was declared by resurrection from the dead to be the Son of God with power. His ascension into heaven is explained by his power. What is more, his ascension into heaven proclaims his power. He is Lord, his men said. We called him Lord when he was with us, but we did not really know what that meant until he was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. He is Lord, and you had better believe it. The lordship of Christ, made clear to his men, finally and conclusively by his resurrection and his ascension into heaven, made it perfectly clear to his men why he had become a man. He died, they said, for the sins of all, and he rose from the dead to prove to everyone that his death is good for all. He is alive, and people can have confidence in him. He's Lord, and people can get new life from him. He sits at the right hand of the throne of God, they said. And the whole earth is his footstool. Powers, lords, rulers, and authorities belong to him, and he is in complete control. He is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He existed before all things, and in union with him, all things have their proper place. He gave his life blood for his people. He is the firstborn son who was raised from the dead in order that he alone might have priority in everything. It was by God's own decision that his Son has in himself the full nature of God. Through the Son, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. God made peace through his Son's death on a cross, through the blood of that cross, and so brought back to himself all things. Whether you're talking about things on earth or things in heaven, he is Lord in heaven and in earth. Man that he was and man that he is, Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God's power. That's the only way they could describe his power. For the right hand of God, as Martin Luther used to say, is everywhere. God is alive and at work everywhere in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's not magic. It is real. The reality of the whole thing is very apparent in the history Luke tells. I told you everything, Luke explained to his friend Theophilus, from the time he began his work until the day he was taken up into heaven. During those days, between his resurrection and his ascension, 40 real days, he gave instructions by the power of the Holy Spirit to the men he had chosen as his apostles. For 40 days after his death, he showed himself to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. He was seen by them and talked with them about the kingdom of God. He told them to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Stay in Jerusalem, he said, and it won't take long till the promise will be fulfilled for you. The promise was to be fulfilled in them for the whole world. They had one last question to ask him, and that shows that they were still men like us. They had one last chance to ask him the most important question that could possibly come up in their minds. They crowded around him, and their question was obviously one that they'd been asking themselves. Is this the time, maybe, Lord, when you will hand back the kingdom to Israel? They were still thinking in terms of the days before he died and before he had been raised from the dead. It's the kind of question people have who do not yet get the meaning of his resurrection and ascension. They're worried about themselves and their positions. Who's going to run this show, anyway? The Lord did not become angry with them, even though their questions showed their preoccupation with themselves, their concentration on today instead of tomorrow, their failure to perceive his greatness, his all-inclusive power, his lordship. We always have to be reminded, too, that he is the Lord. He's running this enterprise himself. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which God has kept in his own authority, that very human man declared in the full assurance of his lordship. But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses for me. He is Lord. He is the head of his church. Nobody is going to take his place, ever. You will be witnesses to me, he said, in Jerusalem, where it's tough, because that's right at home. In Judea and in Samaria, where it's even tougher, because that means you have to go there. And to the last extremities of the earth. That's unbelievable. Unless, of course, you believe that he is the Lord of heaven and earth. While he was talking to them, and they were mulling over what he had just said, he was taken up into heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. These men stood there gazing up into heaven, trying to catch one last glimpse of the one whom they had come to love, to revere, and to depend upon. While they were standing there, their eyes fixed on the sky, two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them. They asked a very human question. Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up at the sky? Why, indeed? If I had been there, I would have been looking up at the sky. If you had been there, whether you believe in him or not, you would have been gazing up into the sky. The most dramatic incident in the history of the world is happening right before your eyes. Why shouldn't you be looking up at the sky? For these men, the one who had been the center of their lives and on whom their hopes hung, had just disappeared behind that cloud. Why shouldn't they be looking up at the sky? We are reminded, in gentle but forceful language, why you can't spend your time looking up at the sky. Gazing up at the sky may look pious, but that's not what the world needs. It needs people who have his spirit, and because of him, get going right where they are. They get going because he is the Lord. They get going because his lordship is going to be demonstrated one day in all its glorious reality. This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come back in exactly the same way that you saw him go into heaven. It's not magic. In his simple and declarative word, Luke takes the magic out of the story and gives it meaning. He was lifted up and a cloud took him. There's no fanfare and no bands are playing. Only the power is there, the effortless power of the Son of God and the Savior of the world. It's more important than the signs, the times, the seasons, the dates, and the timetables. The Father keeps all those in his own authority, but he has given to the world the promise of his Son, the gift of his forgiveness, which is in his Son, the renewing power of life, which is in his Son, and the glorious assurance of final victory in his Son, who will come again, as the men said, just as he went into heaven. That's the deadline, and there is no other. Jesus knew how people operate on deadlines. If you have a deadline on final examinations at school, you don't study too much until the deadline comes around. If you have taxes coming due, you don't take care of them until the deadline. Religion, with such deadlines, can get very sick. It can keep putting off real love until it is too late. How many people have stood at a graveside and wept, not so much for the one who died, but that those who are alive could have done so much better with their love. The deadline of the Lord is today. Why are you standing there, gazing up? Don't stand there looking up. Get going. He stands at the right hand of God's power, he does, and there's no place in this universe where he is not Lord. You get going. Recently, the newspapers carried the account of a group of people getting a number of followers and offering them a way out of the world. The way out was quite far out, if you know what I mean. They put an advertisement in a number of papers on the west coast of the United States saying that the Martians had come in spaceships and that people could be given passage on a spaceship into some kind of different existence in a different world. A surprising number of people took them up on it. People were starting to disappear from their accustomed haunts under the lure of this magical appeal to get out of the world. I never did hear what happened to all those people who sold their homes, gave their children away, and started on a trek to nowhere. When the miracle of Christ's ascension takes root in the hearts of people, they get going right where they are. Knowing him to be Lord and following him as Lord, they get going. They don't mind talking it up for him. They're not afraid to do so because he is Lord. They have faith enough to love, because it takes a lot of faith to love. Only people with faith have courage to love. People with hope, looking forward to the day of his appearing, really understanding the present enough to make use of today. They have the courage to say no to the things that displease him, because he is Lord. They have the courage to say yes to the things that please him, because he is Lord. Put quite simply, that's life. That's life with the Lord. For the Lord. In the Lord. Why didn't he stay? Why did he go? In his going, our Lord paid all of his followers the greatest compliment that the Lord of heaven and earth could possibly give them. He gave them his work to do. To put it quite bluntly, if Christ had stayed on earth, I would not be talking to you today. No one would dare to get up on the radio to talk to people all over the world if Christ were here to do it himself. It would be no great loss to our world if I were not talking to you today. It would be a great loss if no one were here talking to you today for Jesus Christ. Millions of people are talking it up for Jesus Christ. I have this assurance that what I'm telling you today comes from him. He that hears you, hears me, he said to his men. And in his lordly way, he makes it come true even today. He will make it come true for you. He is Lord. Instead of striving for happiness, let happiness drop in on you with Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. That's the way happiness really happens. Instead of worrying about being a witness for Christ, let Christ live in you, and you will be a witness for him. In his love, his power, his forgiveness, you find yourself living again, living with him and dying with him and living again with him. The best witness for Christ is most often offered by people who do not have big names. They're ordinary people with a quality of character and personality which is the very picture of Christ himself. They have patience, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, big-heartedness, and self-control. They're witnessing all the time with their lips and with their lives. They die to sin and live to the Lord. They're great because they know the Lord. There's a beautiful peak in northern Montana called Heaven's Peak. It's nice to see, nice to get there, nice to climb, and even nice to think about getting to the top. What's the good of it, however, if you don't pay any attention to the road you're driving in order to get there? Why do you stand there gazing up into heaven? Heaven's great. Therefore, get going along the road back to where you live, where you work, where you're raising your family, where you're going to school, where you're taking your vacation, where you belong right now. Let people know, as people knew about Christ's men, that you have been with the Lord. Get with the Lord. And get going with the Lord. Amen.